Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, host of Dynasty Game Night. My co-host John Bosch and I created this podcast for one reason, to focus on fun. After all, fun is the reason we all started playing fantasy football in the first place. I love games of all sorts, card games, board games, video games, really any kind of game you can think of. So one day, John and I decided it was time for a podcast where we just play games. You might learn something along the way, but you won't find much hard-hitting analysis here. Check out all the other incredible podcasts DLF has to offer for that sort of thing. On Dynasty Game Night, our primary focus is to entertain. So if you like playing games or watching game shows, this might just be the podcast for you. We'd love for you to give it a listen and play along with the contestants and maybe even win a chance to be on the show.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, I'ma win as a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clowning with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade addicts pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 77 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Sorry, we sort of just ditched you for a week. Life and illness got in the way, and to be honest, Brian just kind of needed some time. He needed some grief. Time after do you want to talk about it? Do you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, Saquon Barkley got hurt and it was tragic and it is awful, and I am in a season right now where I don't feel so hot, so but Saquon will be returning, so I just have to hang in there for a little while.
Pure Saquon form, he's like out of his walking boot already when it's supposed to be like another 3 weeks in it, and he is probably going to be back well before the 8 weeks that they originally estimated he'd be out for. So if you have Saquon Barkley, maybe don't panic, maybe do panic. We'll talk about that a little later. First, yeah. Well, I mean, that was really one of the two news items that I think really mattered, Saquon being out, even though that was news last week. Again, we weren't here, so it's news to us, sort of. But what really sort of sucks for this podcast, Mitch Trubisky dislocated his non-throwing shoulder with a slight tear in his labrum, and he's out for probably 2 weeks. I don't know, man. Like, we want Trubisky to be a thing really bad.
We do.
He looks good for one game, not so much for the other three. But man, this is again the year of the shoulder / collarbone area continues. Like, this is just nuts. Another, like, he went down and you saw the way he did. Like, it's impossible to describe. Like, his arm was up and he landed down on top of that, so you knew his shoulder was getting messed up. Mm-hmm. They said if that was his throwing arm, it would require surgery now and he'd be out for the season. But since it's his non-throwing arm, I mean, he's gonna have to suck it up and play anyway. Or just get some nice drugs shot into him right before every game and see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, frustrating injury, obviously, if you have Trubisky on any of your teams. He hasn't played great. Like you said, he had the one game where it was, you know, maybe some reason for optimism, I guess. but he just hasn't been, he hasn't been great this year. That Bears offense has struggled a lot just overall. I mean, they're winning games, but they're winning games because their defense is ridiculous. And Khalil Mack is, I mean, just an animal. He's just insanely good. So But yeah, frustrating for Trubisky owners. You know, and Chase Daniel, I guess, is the guy there now. Maybe they can hold on, I guess, until, I mean, the defense is good enough that it will keep them in games if Chase Daniel can be a game manager, which mm-hmm. essentially is all that Mitchell Trubisky has been doing too, for the most part. So, you know, we'll see what happens with all of that. But I just hate these guys getting hurt, all of them. I mean, I just feel like it seems like every year it's more and more and more and more and more and more injuries. And to star players, you know, I mean, it sucks when any player gets hurt. But the fantasy stars are, you know, seem to be getting banged up a lot more often than they might have in the past. So,
all right, so let's talk about actual repercussions of this one. Chances are Chase Daniel is on a lot of waiver wires. In a super flex league, I assume someone's going to try and pick him up. What kind of fab do you think we're talking here?
I mean,
let's say magically you have your full amount. I mean, you're not spending 100%, especially if this is only going to be 2 weeks. And one of them, I think, is actually bye week. So for 1 week of a quarterback, 20%. And plus, you'll just feel safe if you're the Trubisky owner holding on to his backup at this point since he's been hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I if you're in dire QB need, I think that's fine. I think you'll likely get him at that price.
At the 20%?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, I wouldn't feel, again, I would have to be in real dire QB need to spend 20%. I mean, I think it's a reasonable number. I just wouldn't personally do it. I'd probably do maybe 10 to 12% ish, and see if I could get him. And if I didn't, then, you know, so be it. But yeah, I mean, I think with the injury and to Trubisky and the likelihood that he'll be back after the bye, hopefully, I just probably wouldn't pay too much more than that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And magically, you want to trade for this guy, you're not spending a first on him.
No. Chase Daniel? No. No, I would rather. I mean, I'd rather if I'm paying a first, I'd rather go get Jacoby Brissett or
just put a flex in there. I mean, unless
and hang on until Trubisky's back.
Yeah, when you hear shoulder injury and like your brain just thinks it's a long term thing, and you have to put it in your head, it's probably just one game. So don't freak out on this one. But it's something I figured we probably should talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's. Yeah, let's just get into this.
Okay.
We had in a group chat, I don't remember which one it was, but someone asked the question, is Le'Veon Bell and Tyreek Hill enough to get back for Saquon for a team that really needs the RB help now to stay competitive? This was a group chat that included, I don't know if you guys have heard of him, Mr. Brian Haar. So, Mr. Brian Haar, what was your response?
All capital letters, nope.
Continue.
That was my response. So this was a very fun exchange. And I think it was in Cool Kids. One of the benefits of being a patron member is
to ask questions and set Brian off.
Yes, exactly. So it was a fun exchange. We you know, the initial question was asked, and I of course had a very strong response to that, being the Saquon Barkley fan / supporter / believer that I am in him. And my point in this, I responded that if you're trading Barkley, you've got to be getting something in return that is slam dunk, right? So players that don't have any question marks. So, especially from off the field stuff. So Lev and Tyreek Hill both, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're both very talented players, elite players even. But they both have some question marks when it comes to their availability moving forward in the league. Whether it's Tyreek and all the stuff that happened this past offseason, you know, he also has a history of not behaving the best. Now, nothing in between, right? But there's a pattern of behavior. Lev, no issues outside of contract stuff, which isn't, you know, is I'm not worried about with him now. But he's also a 27-year-old running back. You know, so if I'm trading any of those elite running backs, so Barkley, Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, especially those three guys, Zeke.
Hey, I'll even add in Nuke and Odell to what you're about to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think absolutely. Those elite guys, the guys that you build your rosters around. If you're trading them away, you can't get guys with question marks. I mean, you can. Go do this if you feel like doing it, but I just don't think it's smart business. You know, if you're getting and look, one of the reasons this kind of went to the stratosphere in the chat was I said if we're talking about players like Nick Chubb and Keenan Allen instead of Tyreek Hill and Lev Bell, then yeah, I mean, absolutely. Okay. And then, of course, Russ had a...
Speaking of stratospheres, my response was, in what freaking world are you getting Nick Chubb and Keenan Allen for Saquon Barkley?
Right. And I wasn't saying... I did use those two players. I definitely used those two players. I wasn't thinking that those two players for Barkley was fair value or anything like that. I mean, I would take that deal too, most likely. But that's the
most
type...
likely.
I would most likely take the deal. I would probably. I can't say definitely.
I love that you can't even say yes to this, but that is insane.
But okay. But here, the thing about it is, that's the type of deal. Those are the types of players that it would take to get me to consider moving Saquon Barkley. I'm not moving him for guys that have question marks like Tyreek freaking Hill. Tyreek Hill could be. He's 23 or 24 or whatever. He could be a top five receiver for the next 5 to 7 years. He could also be out of the league tomorrow. So I just don't, I'm not into trading elite assets for guys with question marks. Now, you know, we got into the other thing that happened out of this conversation. We started getting into injury. Okay, you know, a guy could get hurt tomorrow. Okay, Barkley is hurt right now. Okay, so, but that's a risk that every NFL player faces. Every NFL player, every snap faces that risk of injury. These other guys still face that risk of injury and also face other risks. Of, you know, off the field behavior or suspensions or, you know, whatever. So that's why, to me, if I'm trading one of those elite assets like Saquon Barkley or Kamara or Nuke or McCaffrey or, you know, that group that we talked about, Odell, I have to be getting somebody back that doesn't have a question mark. So the conversation evolved too, and there was I'm trying to remember what the deal was here with the Juju. Okay. So
I think you just said it. Maybe if you switch it to Juju, you would do it with Bell. Maybe was that what it was?
It might have been. Yeah, it might have been Juju with Bell. I had Barkley for Chubb and Cooks. Or for Cook and Kittle, or for when I'm talking about those types of deals, even, you know, I mean, Keenan and Chubb, obviously value wise. Now, again, this is me. So I'm biased, clearly. But at the same time, I recognize that the value is off in those deals. You wouldn't send those two players for Saquon alone, likely. Okay, so I'm talking about the centerpieces of the deal, so the bones of the deal. So you might have to send a marginal player back, or a pick or something like that, obviously. But the point is, those players aren't carrying the same type of non-injury risk that guys like Le'Veon Bell and especially Tyreek Hill, in that particular case, are carrying.
I mean, we've talked about it at least in the non-point scoring season, and I guess we haven't really come up with it now because we haven't really talked about trading any studs. But this really is something we've talked about, but we just got a little specific with it. It's funny. I've in the chat, I said afterwards, I'm going to find a league I am in with Brian where he has Saquon Barkley, and I am going to just dismantle my team to find out a trade he would accept for it. And I wish I remembered to do that before we did this show where we were going to talk about it, but I did not. So one of these days, I'm just going to, out of pure boredom, hopefully it's a team I'm not doing well with, I am just going to unload and find a deal that you, and it, we will have an episode purely based on that trade. That is the only thing we will talk about, and we could probably fill an hour with it.
And I will be here sweating talking about giving away Saquon Barkley in a trade.
We'll have to bring on guests to reassure you that you did the right thing over and over again.
Yes,
and it'll be people that, like, we'll get on like John Hogue or something, someone who just, you know, don't care about running backs, to let you know, oh, yeah, no, that was the right move, man. And then we'll bring on Swags, who builds around running backs, who will still tell you, no, that was the right move. That was enough to sell him for. See, even though I'm doing this to sort of mock you in some way, shape, or form, I'm still trying to make you feel better about it in the long run.
I believe the quote in the chat was poking the Bay Bear.
Poking the Bay Bear. Yes, that one made me happy.
Mason Rudolph just did something, and I don't know what it was.
It wasn't a juju. That's what I know.
Oh, my God. The Steelers are up 24-3. What the hell just happened?
It was not a defensive touchdown, and it was not a juju touchdown.
So two touchdowns in the first 5 minutes of the second half. I love it. Okay, sorry.
We need to talk about Juju Smith-Schuster right now.
Let's talk about him.
Why is he... I am going to lose a game where this guy scored 109 points. I'm stuck at 81.9. I have Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, Juju Smith-Schuster, Chris Boswell, and the Steelers defense. I'm probably going to lose this game, and that is horribly upsetting. My highest point scorer of the week is Cortland Sutton, and only one other person broke double digits, assuming it ends right now, because my luck, they're just going to end the Steelers and Bengals game right now just so I don't score more points. At least we beat Memphis. That's what matters. And trade addict 7, we beat Memphis. That's what matters.
Woo!
Okay, but no, let's actually talk about Juju Smith-Schuster for a second.
Yeah.
What is he right now? As a Steelers fan, like as an actual football, I guess, player / asset, what is he and how does that sort of translate into fantasy football?
He is a true wide receiver 1 for an NFL franchise.
Is he going to put up stats as a true NFL wide receiver 1?
Some weeks. This year, with a rookie quarterback. He's not a rookie quarterback technically, but he's a rookie quarterback.
I mean, his first year starting, you call him a rookie, it's fine.
Right. So, I think that will limit his upside. So here's what I'd say. This year is the year to buy Juju Smith-Schuster, because I do believe moving forward, whether it's Ben or whether it's Mason Rudolph, I'm not convinced this kid isn't who the Steelers think he is. I think everybody else around the league is, and that's okay. I mean, I understand it, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. He's following a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's not Aaron Rodgers following a Hall of Famer who's going to become a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying that, but I also don't think he's like chop liver. So I don't know. I mean, I think if you can buy Juju at a discount here while he's down, the kid's the kid is so talented. We're going to talk about another receiver that you're going to, I know you're going to use this, what I'm saying right now, you're going to use it against me a little bit later in the show, but
I look forward to it.
but the talent is there. He is super talented. He's got great hands. He's a good route runner. People will say he's slow at times or slower at times and can't get open. I think last week, you know, against the Niners, he kind of couldn't separate, and then all of a sudden he did, and he went up the sideline for 75 yards. Like that's the type of player, you know. He's talented. Juju is a top. Let me think here. I'm not looking at the name, so I'm not sure. Here's Nuke. The problem. You're right. Nuke, Odell. Yeah.
Michael Thomas.
Keenan, Juju and Keenan for me are like.
So let's just comfortably say top five.
Yeah, I think Juju's a top five receiver in the league. Yeah, I do. I think he still is talent wise. Situation is less. It's not as good as it was with Ben yet. But I also don't think it's as bad as a lot of people think it is. So if people are panicking on Juju Smith-Schuster, I buy him all day.
All right, let's try and find a way to actually put a value on this, because how the hell do you put a value on Juju right now?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I offered you... Okay, well, you said Keenan Allen is even enough. So let's go a little lower than that. You don't want Tyreek Hill, because we just said if you're trading away a stud, you want something solid in return. Man, correct. When we start recording, I should just pull up the DLF ADP, and that would probably just make life a lot easier in the long run for times like this, where I don't have to sit here rambling to, you know, disguise from the fact that every single time I go to log on to DLF, it doesn't remember who I am, so I have to go and log in every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get to the ADP.
And we also forgot Davante Adams, and I would like to formally apologize for forgetting Davante Adams again, because Davante Adams is a freaking stud.
Yes. There we go. Okay, so we're still in September, because October's running right now. Juju was wide receiver 2. But clearly that was before Ben. This was really before the season started.
Well, and here's the biggest thing about Juju too. He's 22. He's been in the league 3 years, but he's 22 years old. So he's literally like the age of rookies right now. So, and he's already got a 1,400-yard season. 111 catch, 1,400-yard season. Good.
Mike Evans or Juju?
Juju.
Would it take less than a first to get to Juju for Mike Evans?
Yes. Right now,
for some reason, clearly it's not really something you would necessarily do, even on a rebuilding team, because like you just said, Juju's 22. But if someone offered you Mike Evans in a second, you would at least say like, okay, that's fair value, but why?
Right. I think it would depend. It truly would depend on my team too. I mean, if I'm competing at all, I'd probably. God, that's so hard.
Well, I mean, to be like, you know me, like the same position, same tier. To me, right. Juju and Evans are kind of close enough where I wouldn't really bother doing that kind of switch. Unless my team was trash and Juju was literally all I had. So getting that second helped me all that much. Because otherwise, it's just, why bother? But I mean, we're just trying to gauge some sort of value.
Right.
You said his name before. Brandon Cooks and a first or Juju?
Juju.
Yeah, I think I agree. That's kind of, I mean, that's really our line of demarcation, because once you get up, well, I mean, Antonio Brown doesn't count anymore. Adam Thielen just isn't going to be as high as this anymore.
Right.
Neither will Diggs.
But like, I could see somebody trading Juju for DJ Moore in a first, because people love DJ Moore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't do that.
I mean, he is wide receiver 16, 2 below Cooks. I would want more. Like I want at least a second on top of that.
Right.
And clearly we're talking valuations, because again, if I'm trading Juju for DJ Moore, I want that second to be like Larry Fitzgerald. I want someone who is definitely giving me solid points right now, where while I hope that DJ Moore turns into something like Juju Smith-Schuster. So to bring this all the way back around, because I didn't even realize we'd sidetrack this far, don't worry about Juju.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him.
Go buy Juju.
Go buy him.
I think I'm going to try and do that. If I could... Okay, so here, let me... I want to show you my naivety that I'm thinking you'll share with me. Did you see the polls I put out in the Trade Addicts leagues? Or do you just not check your emails and that hurts my feelings?
The emails?
I put a poll.
I did see them. I didn't look at them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course you did.
It's just, it was this morning.
No, whatever. No, it wasn't. It was late this afternoon. So I put out a poll. Would you allow trading, even though a player has played, because it locks scores? So let's say, you know, I had Julio Jones on my team. He played on Sunday. I'm sitting here on Monday and I'm bored. I could now trade Julio Jones. I could now trade DJ Moore a first and a second for, well, not Juju, because that doesn't work because he's playing right now, but for, you know, Michael Thomas. And it would go through, but our scores from yesterday would still be locked and still count.
So there's, okay. So basically what you're saying is you would allow the trade to process, but the scores from that week would be assigned to the team who owned or who had the player rostered.
Scores are locked at the end of a game. So the end of the trade does absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
So I'm sitting here. I put the poll in every single league.
And everybody's
free choices.
Yeah. I'll be interested to hear this.
Yes, and do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and do it the start of next season. And just no.
Mm-hmm.
I gave those three choices with the mindset of if one person said yes next season or no, to kill the idea, because it's midseason and just instituting a change is kind of crappy commissioning. If it was like 11 to 1, maybe we try and talk to that one. But I mean, I love the idea. And really, this all sprouted from me being bored on Mondays. It's just like, okay, I check my leagues in the morning. Oh, one, lost, 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 lost. Oh, God, no, lost. What a bad week. Lost, lost. And then I can't do anything about that.
Bro.
Like, I have to sit here staring at my teams for a full day.
So, what? No. So I just, I looked at the first, I had seven up, and I looked at the poll in seven, and then I went straight to Trade Addicts 3. And to no surprise whatsoever, there is not a no yet. There's eight votes and there's not a no.
And Joe told me he voted yes, start next season, but could easily be convinced to change it to yes right away if everyone else voted for it.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
So let me show you my naivety though.
Yeah.
In Trade Addict 6, two people voted no. Mm-hmm. So I went into the chat and I said, legitimately asking, because I don't understand the negative to this, why would you say no? So the dubious to drink gives us this example. He says, well, let's say theoretically on a Sunday morning I could trade Russell Wilson after he torches the Rams on Thursday night this week for, say, Dak and Jarvis Landry or whatever, and then use those two players also against the other team. So you are locked in on Thursday after Thursday's games of having Russell Wilson's 30 points, and then you trade him away, but you get assets for that piece you already got points for, and you get to play them against that other person.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so my question there is that's a valid point.
And see, I did not at all think of that. I'm just thinking I'm bored on Mondays.
Right. Right. So I absolutely that's a great question. I think you would have to have something in the
We'd have to do bylaws where it says you can't start the players you trade for.
Right. Yeah, right. So it would well, here's the thing. It would work the exact same way. It would work the exact same way as it works currently, essentially, right? But you just would be able to process the trade earlier. I mean, that's all you're doing, right? I mean, if you go in once the Thursday game, or maybe you don't even make it the Thursday game. Well, see, but then that's what Two Drinks saying. I wonder if. No, because you see, because we make currently you can make trades up to Sunday 1 o'clock games, right?
Yes.
That's interesting. That's an interesting quandary. Maybe you say.
Yeah, the only way to really do it is what you said, is if you trade away a player that has played already and is locked in your score, you can't use anyone you get that week.
Right.
But I'm going to be honest, I don't want to police that, which pretty much kind of squashed the idea. Unless once it's voted yes, if it's voted through, I bring up that situation. Like, if at this point, knowing that if it is voted yes in any of the leagues, I will bring that up, and if anyone changes their mind from that, we just won't do it, and then we'll put it to a different vote. I guess a majority vote at the before next season.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting idea, and
but if you're a league out there that just doesn't care about what Two Drink brought up, then hey, maybe we give you an idea, because that is absolutely a setting that MFL allows you to do. And I don't care, and I want to do it anyway because I freaking hate sitting on Mondays and staring at my teams and not being able to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm with you on that. I mean, it's sometimes it's brutal. I mean, especially for us, right? We're trade addicts, so
yeah,
it's brutal to sit there and have to wait, because you get ideas as games are going on Sunday. You know,
absolutely.
It's like, oh, I want to trade for that guy. Look at what he did this week, or you know. Maybe that's a guy I can buy low on because he didn't do so well. And you have the idea on Sunday afternoon at 3:30 in the afternoon, and you got to wait till, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday before you can send an offer.
Yeah. Damn, Two Drinks always poking holes. Actually, it's better. I mean, it's better than we found it out now, as opposed to someone doing it, everyone getting pissed off about it. So thanks for being a jerk, Two Drink. So as I say, hey, Two Drinks, sorry, I don't mean it. Let's shift over to Make Amends.
Make Amends!
I am sorry about these two people for two different reasons. I feel like this is like a theme for me. I picked someone I was wrong on disliking and wrong for liking. This week, I am sorry I bought into Sony Michel. I really thought he was going to be a thing. I really, if anything, just thought he would be a better runner than he is right now. I never thought he was going to be a long-term asset. Like, this was Jay Ajayi. That's what he is. But I was hoping to get the 2 years you got out of Jay Ajayi. We did not get that. We got last year's playoffs, and that seems to be it. He not only looks bad, their Patriots are being intelligent and not using him because he looks bad. So that sucks. Like, I mean, I didn't buy into a lot of him. I remember saying that if you went wide receiver heavy in a startup draft, I would be completely fine grabbing Sony Michel in like the fourth, fifth round and him being my running back one. Clearly that is off the table now. He is my running back one in Scott Fishbowl, which means I have lost the Scott Fishbowl.
Don't worry, you can't be doing worse than me.
My quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Ben Roethlisberger, Nick Foles, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I had Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
My running backs, Sony Michel, Duke Johnson, Raquel Armstead, Alexander Mattison. I went zero running back and it did not work out well for me so far. Justice Hill. But on the plus side, I have like Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, Juju, like my wide receivers, like Tyler Lockett, are just amazing, but that's not doing enough. I'm going to win my first game this week, I think, but it really doesn't make me feel better about it because It's going to be my first game and probably my only game.
Yeah, I haven't won yet either. And I'm not winning this week.
Just don't want to be last.
Hey, I have Sony too. Yeah, I have Sony as well.
So
copycat. That's right. We had like the first like
five rounds
like were the exact same thing except for the first.
Yep.
All right. So yeah, I apologize for Sony Michel. I really thought he was going to be a thing. I thought he would be good. Not great. I thought he would be good. I thought he'd be scoring touchdowns. He's getting red zone work. It's just not doing anything. So, right. Yeah, my bad. And this other one, I didn't really question the player himself. It was more the situation. Are you yawning or wowing at the game? You're yawning. Okay.
No, I'm yawning.
Philip Lindsay. Coming into camp with the injury, with a new front office, I really thought there was just a chance he gets pushed aside for Royce Freeman. That didn't happen. They actually seem to have a decent, even split. Philip Lindsay just looks better. And while that did happen last year, I was just trying to tell myself, you know, Royce was hurt, you know, during camp. They were giving Lindsay the looks. He looks good. So, you know, they just weren't letting Royce play. And Royce ran into the most stacked boxes in the league. And I can't make excuses anymore. Lindsay just looks better than Royce. And I still want Royce to be a thing, but it is going to be much, much harder because Philip Lindsay is, in fact, the real deal. So those are my two make amends.
And for mine, I did the same thing. I have a guy that I am apologizing for not performing, and that's Latavius Murray. I thought that this guy would step right into Mark Ingram's role in that offense, have, I think I said on the hot take show, double-digit touchdowns this year. Alvin Kamara everywhere, all day. Latavius Murray is basically non-existent, other than the rare spell rep. So apologies there. And then the other guy, and this is not one that was necessarily public knowledge from my point of view, but it's something that I feel I maybe missed on. Austin Eckler is a stud too, and he has carried a couple of my rosters. I have Melvin Gordon in a couple places, and I was lucky enough that I bought the handcuff in Eckler. And to be honest with you, I wasn't real happy when Melvin Gordon said he was ending his holdout because Eckler has played so awesome. I think I saw a stat today that said he would be the wide receiver 11 if he was a wide receiver, and that's before any rushing work. So
seems to be the case with guys who just go nuts at running back. You know, David Johnson in, what was that, 2017, last year with McCaffrey. It always just seems to be the way, like they would be the either very low wide receiver one or like a ridiculously high wide receiver two, even like just on their wide receiver stats.
Right.
Wait, hold on. Talk for a second. Keep talking. I need to look something up.
Yeah, no, just Eckler. He's just played so well. I wasn't targeting him really. I was lucky in the leagues where I had him because I had acquired him previously, like a couple years ago. I didn't target him this offseason with all of the stuff that was going on. I kind of actually targeted Justin Jackson more, and he's played okay, but obviously he hasn't been doing what Eckler's done, and I know he's banged up now, but Eckler was the guy to own of those two, I think. In that offense, and he, like I said, he's carried a couple of my teams here while Melvin Gordon has been out. So I'm sorry, and I'm making amends for not recommending going out and getting Austin Eckler for the start of this season because he's been great.
So I was apparently a year ahead of the curve. I really thought it was this year, but last year was my Austin Eckler was going to be the next Duke Johnson and be very usable running back. This year it was that Mike Williams is going to finish outside of the top 24 wide receivers, which still seems like it's going to work, even though it's a little bit of injury helping, but was trying to take my victory lap about Austin Eckler, even though it's, I'm still going to take it because I don't care who's going to stop me right now.
Not me.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I did not see this coming. I also loaded up on Justin Jackson because I thought he was going to take the first two downs and Eckler would take the third, but Eckler's beasting. You're right. He is doing it all. And I am also sad that Melvin Gordon's coming back because I own a lot of Eckler and none of Melvin Gordon. Man, like I have to like try and do this purposely where we line up guys in the same, like the same guy in different sections so we could have like these awesome like transitions into the next thing, but that did not work. So let's talk about some buys.
Yeah.
I have two. One of them because I believe it, and one of them because I want to believe it. I think it's time to go buy Todd Gurley. He is doing well. Like, I think now is a good time to buy Gurley because people are going to have it in their heads that they didn't really do very well last game. Their offense was kind of ugly. But when you stop and look at, you know, what Gurley himself actually did, A, he put up 26 fantasy points, at least in the trade addict scoring. He scored two touchdowns on only five rushes, but he had 11 targets. Everyone's big worry was that he was getting left out of the passing game. Now, game script wise, they chose to get crushed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I have to say chose because why else would you get crushed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? No one else has. And the Rams usually have a very good defense, but no, not this time. So yeah, game script. If this was before last week where Gurley's targets were 1, 4, and 1, you would assume he'd be out of this game, and he wasn't. And that's huge because before this game, his attempts were 14, 16, and 14. So you can picture a game that is a more neutral game script where he can get 13 to 15 carries and 4 to 7 targets. And that's Todd Gurley. That's Toddy Gurley, baby. Like, and the thing is right now, you won't have to pay Todd Gurley prices. Like, you don't have to pay last year's Todd Gurley prices. So I think now is the time to go buy him. If you can get him for a first, yes. If you're going to say, but it's an early first, don't care. Go do it. First and a second, I think I still do that. If I have a competing team and I can send, you know, my first and someone else's second, that's fine. I will do that easily to get someone who could easily work his way back into being pre-last year's worried Todd Gurley. Without a question, I go do that. And I am a little worried about the Rams offense, but not enough to care. But I'll talk more about the Rams offense a little later. My other buy is Calvin Ridley. He has sort of not been part of the game plan the past two games. I don't care. Mohamed Sanu is not the...
Sorry.
It's just funny. No, it's funny. This is going to be a weekly thing where everyone else is watching the game and I'm not, and I get to react to everyone else reacting to the game. And to me, it's funny. I'm sure everyone's listening. It's just like, oh my God, just shut up and stop talking about the game already. I didn't see it. So you know what? Whatever. What was I saying? Calvin Ridley. Go by Calvin Ridley. He is worth a first to me. Is he worth an early first? Yes. I sent what will probably end up being the top three 2020 first for Calvin Ridley in a 12-team league a few weeks ago. And I still feel good about it even after these 2 weeks. I think he's that good. I think Atlanta, whatever the hell is Atlanta's offense is going through, I think we've seen that it takes Matt Ryan a little time to pick up on offenses. Like the past three changes, he's been bad the first year of it. So just let this go. He'll get better. Julio will get another year older, which won't matter for another 3-4 years. But still, Calvin Ridley is awesome. He will be the number two. And there is room with Julio and Austin Hooper to have another very, very relevant fantasy wide receiver. Speaking of, nice, we did it. Speaking of, your bye.
Yeah, so my bye is Austin Hooper. Guys, Austin Hooper's really good. I don't know if you've noticed. But
hold on real quick. We have to shout out Bill Latin because last time we talked about Austin Hooper and didn't give him the shout out that he was the guy that really brought up to at least me how awesome Hooper was. He got really mad. So I want to, Bill, yes, you were right. Keep going, Brian.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's just been really, really good. When we're talking about, you know, this Atlanta offense, it's kind of strange. Like you said, it's like, I don't know. They've kind of struggled a little bit here, but you're starting to kind of see some fantasy stars start to, you know, Devontae Freeman had a decent game this week. You know, and Hooper's been the constant. I mean, he's been awesome. He's been a tight end two through 4 weeks, and he scored over 24 fantasy points. Well, now again, trade addict scoring, but he scored over 23 fantasy points in every single game except week two, where he had four catches for 34 yards. But
also his lowest targeted game.
Correct. So this guy, I think, is going to be somebody that we are going to be talking about for a long time. The cool thing for me about the tight end position, so you have some guys that are getting a little bit older. You know, Kelce, Ertz, those guys at the top that we are used to seeing at the top. You know, they're 29 now, both of them, I believe. And they're still elite assets, but they're starting to get into the territory where people start getting freaked out about the age, right? I mean, not me, but people. I mean, 30 is like ancient in football, just in general. But now, you know, we've got some. I mean, Kittle obviously is in that elite tier as well. He's a little bit younger. He's 26. So, you know, but now you have Austin Hooper. You have Evan Ingram. It's funny to me, you know, the Ingram, Howard, Njoku class, it was like, oh, yeah, these are the next guys. These are the next guys. Well, Ingram out of that group is really the only one that has kind of taken off to this point. But you have guys that have taken off that we weren't necessarily expecting. Austin Hooper, Mark Andrews, those types of players. So, you know, but Hooper is a guy, I think, I mean, Matt Ryan targets this guy and he looks for him in the red zone. So he's a guy, you know, that I think right now is a good candidate as a buy. Go get him now before he has another two or three games of 20 fantasy points when you're going to have to pay top five tight end prices for him. Cause right now I don't think he commands that currently. But he's about to. So I would go buy Austin Hooper if you can.
I agree. Okay. It's a tight end premium, such a weird thing these days because everyone's doing it a little bit their own way. But why don't you throw me out some ideas that you would send out to try and get Austin Hooper right now?
Oh, wow. Put me on the spot, Russ.
You should do your work for this podcast, man.
I do. I had his name down and I talked about him for a little bit.
2021st or Austin Hooper?
Mm-hmm.
Trade Addicts Leagues. Okay, let me Hooper, change that. Austin. You're not getting it for a second, so let's just strike that off the board.
Yeah, I would
How
say
early
yes,
of a first Hooper.
I'd say I would pay any first that isn't top three.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly at this point, especially at this point, after what he's done so far this year, what you'll have to pay for him. Mm-hmm. And if you're, you know, if you expect to win the ship and you only have your first round pick, you don't have a top three. Right. But like, say you had the, you know, what you assume to be like the 105, like that first team that's not going to be in the playoffs kind of area to get, you know, and you're stuck with like Delaney Walker or, you know, anybody that's outside of that top very few people. Yeah. I am all for sending that first round pick.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so you keep talking. I need to do something.
Sure. So we're going to go ahead and move into sells. And I will start with two guys here who it isn't about them per se. It's more about their offense and their quarterback. And the guys I'm referencing are Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in Minnesota. Both of these guys are guys that, if I can get the value out of them that I would have had coming into this season right now, I would feel pretty good about that, I think. in terms of moving them. This offense is worrisome. It's worrisome because they run the football all the time, and their best weapon right now is Dalvin Cook. Now, if something happens to Dalvin Cook, I don't know. You know, maybe it changes a little bit and they throw the ball more and better. That's the other thing. The problem is not just that they're not throwing the ball. It's that when they do, Kirk Cousins sucks right now. He's just not good. He doesn't play well against good teams. He's fine against patsies and, you know, lower competition, but he just isn't. He just isn't putting up fantasy numbers against elite defenses. You know, and in the Central now, or the North, not the Central, good grief. In the NFC North, you have some good defenses. I mean, Detroit right now is pretty decent. You know, Green Bay and Chicago are both pretty, I would say, in the top 10 of defenses. So, you know, I think, and he's got to play all those teams at least once more and a couple of them twice. So, I'm not buying into Kirk Cousins right now.
Damn it,
you know, Oak. Yeah, and this offense, just the passing game in this offense, again, it doesn't have so this is the part that, you know, I said earlier you'd probably hound me about Juju. You know, I believe in the talent. I believe in the talent of both of these wide receivers too. I think they're elite wide receivers. The problem is the offense and the quarterback aren't making it easy to have confidence starting these guys every week.
Yeah, it's rough. Like, you know, we have a lot of people in our close-knit part of the community who are very big Thielen people, you know, the Jake Andersons and Peter Howards, and then there's us who are the big Diggs people. And like, it's not even the fight of who's the better anymore. It's just we found a common enemy, and that enemy is Mike Zimmer. It's just like, why? And even Adam Thielen after this game was just like, can't run for 180 yards every game. We're gonna have to pass it sooner or later. It's just like, wow, damn, man. But like, everyone went nuts when the Seahawks signed Russell Wilson to all that money to say they have to throw the ball now because they pay their quarterback so much money. I wish I could find the tweet, but I'm way too lazy to start looking for it. Well, we know Kirk Cousins is $84 million guaranteed, but they just paid Thielen and Diggs a lot of money. I get that running and defense is an identity that works these days. I mean, even a few years ago when the Seahawks won, it was mostly because their defense and Marshawn Lynch. I mean, these days, I mean, the Patriots defense brings more to the table than their offense does, but it's not smart planning to put that much money into your passing game and then just say, no, we're going to run the ball 80 times a game and throw the ball 10.
Right.
But it seems like that's what they're fine doing, and I just don't get it. My sell is Robert Woods. And honestly, I've been kind of trying to sell Robert Woods since the beginning of the season. Well, since before the season started. I assumed from the beginning that the Rams offense won't be the same as it was last year. Second year in, everyone knows a little bit more of what to expect. Plus, while I was of the mind that Gurley would still be very good, I knew he wouldn't be, you know, Gurley. And that would definitely affect the offense. And the entire offense would, you know, would hurt from that. And especially, I mean, to be fair, we also thought it would take a lot longer for Cooper Kupp to come back and be effective, but he seems to be fine. Mm-hmm. Like, these NFL players are not human beings anymore. I don't understand it. And it makes it much, much more difficult for us to try and predict anything. And it's super frustrating and I hate it. But I think Woods, of all of these people, is going to be affected the most. I think Cooks will always have the long ball. Kupp will always have the short slot route. And they're using their tight ends more. Higbee has been catching the ball. And when he was out, even Everett was catching the ball. Now, Woods just had a really good game, which is why I now am listing him as a sell, because where I couldn't really sell him for a freaking first of anything before this week, I think you'll have a better chance now if you could sell people that, hey, look, their defense is terrible because look what the Bucks just did. And you could have a guy that got, holy geez, 15 targets. He caught 13 for 164. I didn't even realize how much he did. That's insane. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change my opinion. Week one, he had 13 targets, but then he went 2-8. Oh, and last game was the first game he didn't have a rushing attempt. That's weird. But if I can get a mid first, I think, for Robert Woods, I take that, especially if it's a team I'm rebuilding on. He's 27, which, yeah, isn't all that old. But I mean, I don't know that. I don't even know what to do with that team on a rebuilding team besides Goff, because Goff is the guy we know is there forever. Everyone else, I mean, they're going to need some Howie Roseman magic to keep that offense together contract wise. And I'm not necessarily sure Les Snead, I think is the GM's name, mm-hmm. is that kind of magician, because I've never seen it before from him. So I don't know. So if I can get, you know, a mid first, or if I can pull like, what's a good young wide receiver these days that hasn't necessarily done N'Keal Harry plus a little, Arcega Whiteside plus a decent amount, just because, you know, there were times where you thought JJ would do a little bit and he didn't, but I still have faith in the player and the situation. Mm-hmm. I would be okay letting go of Robert Woods. Last year, he was a buy everywhere just because he was not getting the appreciation he deserved for what he was putting up. But what he was putting up was the definition of consistency, and it's just, you're not going to get that this year. So I'm good letting go of Robert Woods again, you know, assuming you can get the value for it, which if you're especially rebuilding, selling to a contender, it's an easy sell to a contender right now coming off of 165 yards, that if he could be your wide receiver three on a team, you're golden, which is pretty much how you feel about all of the wide receivers on that team. They did not make anything easier for us.
No, not at all.
Man, the NFL's the worst for us. They just need to make things easier. Seriously, right?
You're right.
All right, so moving on to keeps. While you had him as a sell, I'm going to say to keep Stephon Diggs.
You don't even feel good. You don't feel good about it, though.
Here's my thing. He just had a decent game. I need to be prepared, but I'm never going to be prepared. I'm close enough. Seven targets, seven catches. Good for him for 108 yards. Actually, T has two games in a row of 100% catch rate. It just so happens last game was three targets, three catches for 15 yards. I will hold on so tightly to last year when they were running the offense they wanted. Stephon Diggs was getting the targets. Mm-hmm. Diggs is and what do we say in Dynasty? You buy talent. Stephon Diggs is effing talented.
Yep.
Effing talented. And I would curse and put a funny sound and bleep or cut it out, but I just don't feel like editing, and we're doing good so far. And we're like an hour in, so I'm just hoping it doesn't have to happen. I have faith in Stephon Diggs. You cannot get, like, I did a little bit of talking around, because there was no way in hell I was going to sell him for any of this. But you can't even really get a first for him right now, at least before this week that just happened. Maybe the 7 for 108 changes something, which would just be silly a little bit. But don't think of this as a sell high. That's really why I put him as my keep. Because a lot of people, like with Robert Woods, what I was just saying, he had a good game. Now unload. I don't think you unload here. I still don't think you can get what his talent dictates. And I think there's more of this to come. They have, you know, a bit of an up and down schedule when it comes to actual difficult teams. But they're going to need to throw the ball. That's just, eventually they're going to have to throw the ball. Whether you're concerned that Dalvin Cook gets hurt, or that the team is just not as good as they want to be, so if they're going to need to stay in games. Because, I mean, let's face it, they play the Bears and still had to throw the ball enough where Diggs got seven targets. So, I mean, I'm not happy putting Diggs in my starting lineup every single week, which makes me so super sad. But I think it needs to happen. I think he needs to be there, and because he any day can go for 7 for 108. And usually when you get 108 yards, you're getting a touchdown out of it, which means add another 6 points, which means you're in 20 something points, which means that's almost week winning. So I am all for holding on to Stefon Diggs. Who do you have as your keep?
Yeah, so my keep is Leonard Fournette. And, you know, coming into this season, I don't know that a lot of people expected a whole lot from this guy, right? I mean, he's averaging 5.5 yards a carry through 4 games. He has 16 catches, so he's catching 4 passes a game. And the targets are even more. I'm like you. I'm not prepared whatsoever today. But I know he's getting targeted a bunch, guys. He's getting targeted a bunch. I'm almost there. So he's had 6, 6, 8, and 3 targets. He only had 3 this last game, but he had over 6 targets. He's had 6 targets or more in every game other than this past week against Denver.
I feel like he has more targets this season than he's like ever had in any year
before. Well, and he had 29 carries. So he's touching the ball, you know, he's touching the ball 20 times a game easily. And of course, I mean, this week against Denver, I mean, he ran wild. I mean, 29 carries, 225 yards. And then he had 2 catches for 20 yards. He didn't get in the end zone, but, heck of a day on the ground. So I Leonard Fournette to me, in the off season, I said that some of the pictures that you saw, some of the videos that you saw, he didn't look like big lumbersome Leonard Fournette that we're used to. So add that to the fact that we knew he was going to get the volume here, and he's having a pretty good year. So, you know, I don't know. I think he's a hold for me. I think a lot of people will see 29 carries for 225 yards on the ground and think, oh, he's a sell candidate. And I can understand that train of thought. But I think for me, you know, I mean, the guy's only, he's young too. I mean, he's only 24 years old, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. So 24. Yeah. 24. So he's 24 years old. You know, and he has a 1,000-yard season. He struggled with injuries the last 2 seasons, but if he can stay healthy, and I think the dropped weight will help with that.
Yeah. And also, he has, again, this is trade addict score. I mean, PPR, there's not much else that really goes into a running back scoring, because especially Fournette that doesn't return kicks. Mm-hmm. So he has 11 points, 13, 15, 27. And he hasn't scored a touchdown yet.
Right.
That's going to change. Like, you don't run for, well, he has a total of what, 520 yards. You don't go 520 yards without scoring a touchdown. Like, right. there's going to be some positive regression there. So he has, like, this is his floor. Okay, not the 26 points, but like, this is his floor, because he's not going to run for 225 yards every week. let's put that out there.
Yeah.
I am all about at least keeping Leonard Fournette. I tried to buy him before this game, and it is clearly just not going to happen now. The team where I have Saquon Barkley, I wasn't trying to trade him for Fournette, but I was trying to get him off of a rebuilding team, being like, you don't need an injury-prone running back. Just give him to me. Let me compete. Let me take that burden off of you. And they just sort of laughed at me because, you know, that's that's the reaction I get out of people. So I like it. All right, so that was our keeps, trades, keep sells and buys and make amends. So let us hit up some Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium 1.75 points per reception. And, well, we finally have a Trade Addicts 1 trade, so I'll have to say all leagues but Trade Addicts 1 have 0.05 points per return yard. So let's get the Trade Addicts 1 trade out of the way. And this is, I stared at this one for a while, and I still don't necessarily know how I feel about it. Now, remember, 1.75 points per reception for tight ends. Darren Waller for N'Keal Harry. Is this the complete ultimate of recency bias versus out of sight, out of mind? Or does this make sense to you?
It makes sense for a competing team. But I want the hairy side in almost every case. I mean, unless I was felt like I was a tight end in a tight end premium league away from winning a championship, I would want Harry.
And knowing that at least the team that bought Waller, that is the case. He right. is going, he's competing, he's pushing.
Yep.
And he's, so he went and got Waller. We were talking before we started recording. We are in, we share a team for the Trade Addicts Pod in the Superflex Super Show Vampire League, where we are the vampire. And our team, as it should be, is just completely atrocious. And I was starting to say, I think maybe we should just take a little bit of a different approach and actually, you know, live up to our brand and maybe start trying to trade a little bit. And I was trying to say, do we think Darren Waller is a long-term asset? Is he, outside of this season, a top five, a top 10 tight end? And top five, we both right away just shook our head like, no, that's this can't keep up. And is he a top 10 tight end going further? I mean, I don't necessarily think so. Like, he is now one of like 30 uber athletic tight ends. Like, what's the difference between him and like David Njoku as an athlete? Next to nothing. The only difference is Waller came into the league as a wide receiver and switched to tight end. I don't think the Raiders are going to sit where they are on their offense. I don't get, you know, I love me some Gazelle. I don't think they're going to stick with him as their wide receiver one. They brought in Antonio Brown hoping he would play football. So I think there's a good chance they bring in someone else this offseason. And if they have two very competent wide receivers, their tight end's not getting 15 targets a game. So going back to this season specifically, 100% get this. But if you're playing Dynasty, your team isn't the tight end away, I think Harry has the more value, because I still stick with saying he is an amazing wide receiver in an amazing situation, and time is just going to make that better.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that for the most part. Even if Darren Waller is a tight end, like top 10 tight end moving forward, I don't think he's top five at all. Moving forward, but I even if he is top 10, I mean, you're talking about a first in a loaded class, so the chances of you getting a player that's going to return value on that, I think is pretty good. So you know, again, I think this makes sense for a competing team this year, who's a tight end away. So I don't have a problem with the deal whatsoever. I just think that's probably the only scenario where I think I would move a player like Harry for a player like Waller. So,
yeah. All right. So let's move on to Trade Addicts 2 with the guy you had on your sell list. Mm-hmm. Would you sell Adam Thielen for a random 2020 first and second?
It would be painful to do. I would consider it if it was mid range. I don't think I'd do, like, if I was looking at the team and project, and of course, you know, we're in week four, so it's hard to project. I get that. But if I was looking at the squad thinking that it would be a later first, I probably would hang on to him.
Right. So the team is 2-1 at the moment. And he's in the middle. I know we brought this up some point last season. If you play on MFL, which you absolutely should be, if you're playing Dynasty, and if you're listening to this, I mean, you shouldn't be listening to this if you don't play Dynasty. Listen to us. Sorry, I take that back. You should always be listening to us. But you should be playing Dynasty, and if you are playing Dynasty, you should be playing it on myfantasyleague.com. MFL has a wonderful, amazing tool for its power rankings. If you need to find it in the drop-down menus, it's reports, standings, and power rank. It gives you your record, total points for, total points against, your efficiency at setting your lineups, like to get your most effective lineup. And then it lets you know your highest score, your lowest score, games you could have won and would have lost if either of you set your perfect lineup. And then it also gives you a power rank and your all play record. This gives you a much better look at what your team really is. Just looking at your record is not enough information to know if you are contending or not. With the variance of, you know, week to week scoring, like the game I was talking about, I think we talked about it on air, the game I'm probably going to lose because this game is so freaking low scoring. This guy is about to get a win. He's going to be 3-1, but he just won a game scoring 109 points. Like, that's not necessarily something you should feel good about. So if you've won three games, just happen to be playing against someone who... Okay, I scored the second lowest point. At least I didn't score the least amount of points. Like, you know, you just happen to have 2 out of 3 weeks of playing the lowest scoring team. Like, you shouldn't feel as good about that. So you should, looking at this tool, know where you stand in the rest of your league. Man, that rambled way too far off. But that was me saying it. Yes, this should be, as of right now, this way too early in the season, be about a mid-first. So mid-first, mid-second for Adam Thielen.
I'd probably do it. I'd probably move him for that.
Especially if I'm not competing. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely do that. I was always a Diggs over Thielen guy. And actually, I need to be honest. Even if I am competing... If I could pull this off, I then use that first to upgrade something else into someone I like more than Adam Thielen. And it could probably be in the same range as Adam Thielen. You know, like I go grab my wide receiver 3 and add that first to him. And I mean, I'm not going to say I'm going to go pull Stefon Diggs because that situation is still just as scary. But like if I can go pull just DJ Moore out of that, I would be super thrilled about it. So yeah, I think I sell Thielen for this all day. Last trade. Trade Addicts 4, Cortland Sutton and a 2021 second for Larry Fitzgerald and John Ross.
Sutton side, easy. For me.
You want to think about that again?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
You don't need to think about it one more time?
Cortland Sutton and a 2021 second for Larry Fitzgerald and John Ross.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Cortland Sutton side. Are you on the other side?
Yeah.
But you like Ross a lot better than I do. That's the difference.
It's funny. Like I sacrificed here. I it is well documented that I'm a very big Cortland Sutton fan.
I feel bad now, by the way. I really do.
I love you. That's ridiculous. So the reason there's no real reason I did this. I wanted to get a share of John Ross. And I don't know, Larry Fitzgerald just seems like a good piece to put with it to make me still feel like I'm competing because I am competing in that league. This is Trade Addicts 4. And that's really the end of it. I'm trying to remember how exactly it went. But the end of the negotiation was like, what if you throw in the 2021 second for Fitz and Ross? And I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, that's too much. But then I hit that thought where I'm just like, it's a second in 2 years. I want Fitz and Ross. Am I really going to let that stand in my way? And I didn't. So I made the trade. That's really what it comes down to. I am sad to see Cortland Sutton go. I think, especially now, I mean, I don't know what happened to Christian Kirk in the real world, but he got rolled on real bad.
Yeah.
In his game. So I don't know. I didn't see anything online today as to if he's going to miss time or how much time he's going to miss. So I have no idea. But that would raise Fitz up a little bit, even though I did this well before that happened. I think these are both pieces that can help me contend because instead of cycling through bottom of the roster guys, I would feel better putting John Ross in there because if I get 4 points, I get 4 points. But I have the choice. I have the chance of getting 40 because of what we've seen Ross do. Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, he's the perfect bottom of the roster guy. And right now, this is the only way you could really get him because if you're going to buy him, well, maybe not after this game. I have no idea what's going on this game, but Cincinnati hasn't scored a touchdown. So I'm going to assume not much. And Pittsburgh's about to get the ball back. And
three for 38 yards.
And that's not awful. I mean, again, bottom of the roster, your last player on your team, you know, 8 points isn't terrible.
Yeah.
Seven, yep. Whatever. Yeah, and Pittsburgh just got the ball back with 2 minutes left, and they're winning, so I'm guessing Juju is not going to get the ball.
No, in fact, he was out on the last series, too. They just have him off the field because they have such a big lead.
Is it possible for Chris Boswell to kick me a 9-point field goal?
It is not possible. And that was the eighth sack?
Seven. I only... Six. 6.2, because I have the Steelers defense, so I just got some points right there.
They had a
6.2-point field goal.
They had 8 sacks tonight, the Steelers.
2 forced fumbles, an interception. Man,
that Bengals line. Yeah, that Bengals line's pretty bad. I think it has probably more to do with that than anything, but still, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take the dub. We're on the board. Woo! Okay.
All right. Well, that is the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. I'm going to get out of here. You're going to go still do work, which is insane. Good for you, man. But before we leave, ffpodshirts.storenv.com. You know, there's us. You could buy a t-shirt, you could buy a sticker, you could buy a mug. There's Superflex Super Show and Dynasty Diagnostic t-shirt and stickers. And then Top Shelf DFF, our boys, X and Savi, go pick up a sticker. 10% of all profits go to Fantasy Cares. Speaking of giving money to Fantasy Cares, Trade Addicts wristbands. Wonderful Trade Addicts colors of neon green and navy blue. $5, $2 from each of $2 from each bracelet, not of each sale. $2 from each bracelet goes towards Fantasy Cares. And also, if you want to see the bracelets that I'm flashing in front of my webcam, you can become a Patreon patron, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. Depending on the tier you sign up for, you get the live broadcast of our streaming. And you could either watch us record, you know, just watch the unedited version later. We have the awesome chat room of the Cool Kids Club on GroupMe, which is never-ending fun and ridiculously smart people. And that is all? Question mark?
Yeah, I think that's it, bro.
All right, cool. Well, night, Brian.
Night out, Al's.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Bar FF. And follow the pod at Trade Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.